everyone, it's Manya from Gambling Ears, and on this episode, I'll be chatting with Vlad from Platypus Gaming.
Hello, Manya. Pleasure to meet you.
Hi, Vlad. Nice to have you here. So Platypus Gaming is a EU-based online game development studio specializing in slots and table games. And you're saying that you are, I'm quoting, creators with a difference. But the thing is, like everybody says that. So I want to start with the first question, which is what actually makes you stand out among other game providers?
Of course. As you have correctly mentioned, yes, every game provider wants to stand out. And lately, there have been a lot of new providers. And with the amount of them increasing, it's kind of hard to tell the difference between each other. So I will tell you a bit about ourselves. So in Platypus, we do things differently. So we started in way back in 2014. And since then, all of our games were initially planned for mobile devices. So all of our development that we have made, so far in the back, where to adapt our games from the very beginning to the, let's call it, digital era that is, well, now. Most of our games are exceptionally lightweight, so they are very, very light comparing to other providers. They are loading very swiftly. That helps us to work in the areas with a poor network connection. And of course, as I have mentioned, they are adapted for mobile and not in the user interface. They're also adapted to load more smoothly, to require less resources, and all other stuff that our technical team makes magical. So if I were to say what's special about it, I would say that we are primarily the one of the few mobile light providers that are specifically developing games so that they are exceptionally easy and smooth to play with in such markets where the players prefer to use their mobile devices or their tablets.
Right. I mean, are there any specific markets where this is not the case? I feel like everybody's on their mobile phones these days, and it's, you know, that common.
To be fair, there are a few locations that we have of note, and it's to be completely clear, it's actually more about games than it is about the locations. Interestingly, we have done quite an extensive research into our player base, and I can assure you that actually if we're talking about table games, such as poker or blackjack or other type of games, players actually more using their laptops, which is unusual. In comparison to other games. So if I give you a split, I would say in terms of the table games, you would see a 50-50 split. But in terms of a slot games, the mobile usage soars up to 80%, 90% easy. So I think it's more interesting to look into the game rather than the geographic itself. Geographic tend to have a difference on average about 10 to 20%. So somewhere the mobile device usage goes up to 90, somewhere it goes down to 70. But overall, it is still prevalent. It was prevalent starting, I think, 2018 or something. And now it's only, well, you know, going higher and higher. But there are still games that tend to, let's call it, stand back and keep that audience that prefers to play from their desktops.
Okay, let's talk about your games then. What are you like most proud of developing and why? And I'm seeing that you're having a new game coming out soon. It's called Ultra Disco.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. First of all, the game that we are most proud of developing, we are proud of developing of every game, of course, but to specifically point one, I would say Wild Spin. It has been a major hit. It has been on the market for well over 2 years, and we had already a re-release of this one, such as Wild Spin Deluxe. The core idea here is that we tried to create a concept that would be successful worldwide, and I think this is exactly the game where it has succeeded. So if you will look at the game itself, it has a combination of bright neon lights, of fairly familiar and simple symbols that are, well, basically known for most players worldwide. And when you say Vegas, this is exactly what you're going to imagine. Okay. You're going to imagine the classic slots, you're going to imagine the neon lights, you're going to imagine the bright spinning jackpots and the jackpot wheel, which are, of course, relevant in the gaming industry. Now, the trick here is that we used a lot of finer details to make it customizable, so to say, for everyone, but for everybody will find something specific for them. For example, while symbols in themselves, once you hit them normally, they are horizontal, which is more in line towards what you would imagine in the West. However, when they fill up as a stacked symbol, they basically fill in on the reel, they turn horizontal, which is more prevalent in the East. If you are familiar with the Eastern signs and the neon signs especially, this is how they normally look like. They're vertical because, well, they're using the writing system that utilizes that. However, when you have these each individual symbols, they look a little bit different. So these small things might seem insignificant, but they have significantly contributed to the popularity of the game and to the interest of the players. Of course, there are a lot of other interesting features, such as free spins, such as the jackpot wheel, that hitting five of a kind will trigger this jackpot wheel. So the game itself is quite beautiful. It is quite simple to understand, and it specifically can be catering to a static of each individual player, or, well, so we hope. So that is the game that we are specifically very proud of developing.
Right.
Moving on to the Ultra Disco, this is one of the releases that is still being developed. So some of the features that I'm going to discuss may change in the future. Well, they are unlikely to change, but there is still always a chance. This game is basically a waste game. So it is similar to the Mega Waste game. It's having the cascades and the, you know, the classic mechanics, so to say. In there, it also features the free spins feature, which is going to be also cascading, adding the multipliers in there. So all the finest aspects of the classical gaming gathered inside with the same neon theme that we decided to follow starting from the wild spin. So in Platypus, we experiment a lot. We find things that work and things that don't necessarily work. We try to fine-tune a game that is relevant to the players, that is relevant to the players not only now, but will be in the future, and picking up those things that we know historically have succeeded and testing out these hypotheses. So if I were to speak of Ultra Disco, I would say this is going to be very similar to Wild Spin, but not in the mechanic, not in how the game is played, but in the feel itself. You are returning to the basically 90s of the US, to this disco fever. You are going to see a familiar characters, a disco ball, and old vinyl plates. So all those characteristics of that era are going to be there. And the slightly older demographic is going to see some of the features that they were saw in real life, and a bit younger demographic are going to see some additional features that they saw in the movies that were not actually in the real life. So I don't know how the game will perform, but so far I do hope that it is going to be exceptionally successful.
Yeah, no, it sounds very exciting, like how you presented it. I want to play it, and not even a real gambler myself. You put a lot of effort into details. I found that really nice. But you mentioned also that you were trying things and like you were applying what's been working in the past, but also you had some experiences with, you mentioned features that were not working. Could you give us an example? I'm just curious.
Of course. So this is not something a typical game provider will tell you, but everybody have unsuccessful games. It's just a matter of fact. They are either old in terms of graphics or in terms of mechanics, or they were originally planned, let's just say, with a mistake. The problem is you realize that you made the mistake only when you release the game. So, and mistake not in terms that the game is bugged or feature is working incorrectly. No, it is just sometimes exceptionally hard for players to understand how the game is work. And when it is hard for player to understand, it is, well, it is not going to be very popular. So we had a game which in theory is absolutely amazing. It has quite high volatility. It has, I think, five different features. It has extremely complicated mechanic of wild multipliers, scatter multipliers, two types of free spins. One goes after another, including respins and re-triggers. So on paper, you have a lot of different bonuses that on themselves make the game interesting. Now, that you've jumbled them all together does not make the game proportionally more interesting. It actually makes it more complicated, hard to understand, and in some cases very hard to play. So this is one of the games that did not unfortunately perform well. And we learned from that. We learned from that that if you add too many mechanics, if they are hard to understand, if players does not exactly see the clear pattern of how the game should be played, they're not going to play it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, people don't read instructions, they don't read emails, nobody reads anything.
Oh yeah.
I'm just kidding, but yeah, that can complicate things.
But this is the era where we are in, when the when if the game is not intuitive enough, it's not gonna fly. And that is something we learned the hard way, and that is something we definitely keep to heart in these matters. So while the let's just say evolution of features and gaming is exceptionally important, and we invest a lot into research into developing new features, we also keep in mind that historically there are a lot of things that went wrong, and not just with us, with other providers as well. So you know, everybody makes mistakes and it's fine, but to be able to learn not only from your mistakes, but from mistakes the other providers make, is really what is game-changing for a game developer.
Right, yeah. Then let me jump to the next question. And I'm wondering, which crypto do you support and which is most played beside, obviously, Bitcoin and Ethereum?
Right. So with regards to crypto, we support pretty much anything that is openly traded. So if it is on the, let's say, CoinMarketCap, it's been on the market for a couple of years, so we know it's a stable currency. Yeah, we can basically add it to our supported currencies for a provider. With regards to what is the most played, apart from Bitcoin and Ethereum, I think it's Throncoin at the top of my head. There are, however, a lot of local currencies that are developed by the, well, big casinos, and they try to push players into playing into that currency. For example, a Betconstruct has developed their own coin. I don't recall the exact name of it, but as you can imagine, they are, as a aggregator and as operator, they have a very big power over the players, so they can, let's call it, slightly nudge them. There are other crypto casinos that develop their own coins. For example, BetFury, they have, I think, Fury coins. So that also pushes their players into not just mining, but into playing. And basically, as you know, well, Tron itself, I don't need to go far away, they also develop the currency as a sweepstake and as a casino in the end.
Tell me please, what about the games that are preferred among crypto players? Any specific ones?
To be fair, crypto demographic, I can't say they prefer a different type of games. It is better to look at the demographic themselves. Now, unfortunately, we don't have all the data to know who exactly our players are, but by the pattern that we see, we can determine that these players prefer faster-paced games. However, doesn't mean they're not playing table games like blackjack or baccarat. They still do. It's just it's absolutely different category of the players. So it's still, their bets tend to be higher, their play time tends to be shorter, and their lifespan actually also kind of shorter. So incidentally, if you have a casino that has options for the fiat and for the crypto, Crypto players are more lucrative for that casino. However, they are less healthy because, well, the churn rate is there is much higher, as we can clearly tell. Still, these fast pacing of games will mean that they're less likely to play the games with features such as Megaways, and they are, well, similar to Megaways, and they are more likely to play into the games that are more classic slots that are going to be 3x3. With 5 to 10 pay lines, and basically, this is how they tend to prefer the games.
Right. Do you can you like name a game that you would recommend to high rollers? So for people who are, more of what you're describing, maybe looking for high bets and high winnings and play with crypto.
Sure. So there are a number of games which I can suggest. After playing them for so long, I intuitively feel what, what feels better. So even when we are talking about the high roller, let's just make a short difference. There are, let's call them whales, and there are the regular high rollers. The whales are able to spend absolutely astronomical amounts of money. For those types of players, I would suggest a diamond hunt, because that the multiplier there is absolutely through the roof. On the top of my head, it's over 40,000. So yeah, that is an impressive multiplier. And for them, this game that have these absolutely huge winnings with the absolutely insane volatility. To be fair, when last time I played it, it was dozens and dozens of spins before it starts hitting big, even in at all. So yeah, this is definitely games for them. Despite the RTPs on all games by 95 across our portfolio, the volatility makes absolutely huge difference. So for the players who tend to, be a bit safer, but still they want a big wins, we have Seven Hot Fruits with a very high volatility and very high winnings. Apart from that, there are other games that are slower in the pace, such as Little Witchy, but they still have very nice multipliers with slightly less volatility. It is not going to be as insane as in a diamond hunt. So, long story short, if you are, let's just call it, an absolutely madman who is going for the highest spins possible, yeah, the diamond hunt is for you. If you want to, like play it a little bit safer, you probably want to spin something like Seven and Hot Fruits.
Okay, what about if I want to play it really safe?
If you want to play it really safe, I would recommend you the classic, the Wild Spin. It was done in the thought that the majority of players are actually, well, let's call them a casual players. Everybody wants to win, obviously. The volatility there is slightly above average, which makes it a nice game. And for the casual audience, I mean. They hit on these symbols. So basically, the game is made in the way so on average you would trigger a bonus in somewhere around 30 to 50 spins. So some types of bonus is going to trigger there. Well, in theory, again, math is a very complicated part of the gaming after all, but on average that's how it happens. And the winnings there in the bonus game are going to be exceeding the winnings in the standard game, which is classic for the for these types of the volatility. So for the casual player, you will definitely enjoy something like Wild Spin. It can be fast paced, it can be slow paced, depending on how much are you willing to bet and how let's call it feature hungry are you. So yeah, it's a perfect game. If you want to be a little bit more of an on, let's call it a dangerous side, we have a Wild Spin Deluxe with the ability to buy feature. So you could let's just say have more of a spice by simply buying the features, such as jackpot feature. So that is, if you want to, try your luck and go for the biggest jackpots, you can always just go there and buy it instead of, spinning around to get it normally.
Do you have any data on which game brought the biggest win so far?
Yes. Yes, we do. This is why we have the anti-fraud department that is monitoring our games 24/7. alongside our support team. So the largest win in my memory, a total of 200,000 with individual win per round around in 40,000. So it was a session that netted some lucky players 20,000, and the highest individual win in that session was around 40,000. So the game that was played was Dragon's Element. It is also a high volatility game. Some casinos prefer it over Wildspin. It is a bit an unusual game because it has six reels, not five. So it's a bit of a bigger field. And since it's a bigger field, there are more combinations that you can build. So you understand that the winning there can be higher as well. The player was, as I call it, a high roller. So the bet per spin, I think it was around $80, something like that. So yeah, so it multiplied by what, 500, I think, if my math is correct. Which is not clearly not the highest multiplier, but given the bet size, the sheer amount of winnings was extraordinary.
Okay, so my next question would be, you also mentioned that you have 24/7 technical support.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what can possibly go wrong? Like, what can players encounter while playing games that would make them contact the support? Like, what can go wrong?
Right. Well, the short answer is life. The long answer is a little bit more complicated, but I will try to give you a some outlook into the most common queries that the player have. So first of all is a player who didn't read the rules. So they had something that they think should give them a bonus, and it doesn't. And this is really the saddest request because the player is unhappy, the player feels themselves stupid, support feels themselves unhappy because, well, it's not
They
an
can't
actual
help.
issue. Yeah, they can't help. They just can point it out. It's terrible. So luckily, those are the minority. The games, well, typically have all the bonuses that are very intuitive, but occasionally it might happen. The other type of the players is, let's just call them a wannabe fraudulent players, and it's very funny. I will be honest with you. For the standpoint of the provider, it is very funny. For the standpoint of casino support, it is not very funny, but I digress. So what they do, they take a screenshot, they use a photo editing tool software to make it seem as if the game malfunctioned. And why I'm saying it's very funny, because all the game outcome that you see, the visuals, they are actually generated post result. So the moment the player hits the spin button, the outcome is already decided. The what is going to happen is already recorded. And even if the player leaves the game midway, it's still when he returns is going to finish the spin. It's just the visual element that is going to be there. And the casino has access to the backlog that we provide, and they can see the exact combination that the player is supposed to get. When it is edited, it is absolutely hilarious. I think my best case was actually in Wild Spin that I found absolutely hilarious. So the player edited that as if they won the jackpot. Now, the funny part is they edited the jackpot wheel in a way that the positions that they specified in that jackpot wheel simply did not exist at all. It was simply impossible to have that exact positioning on the jackpot wheel. And it was so blatantly obvious that it was edited. It's my personal prize to the unluckiest attempt ever. Then there are some legitimate, moving on to the legitimate category. So first one is a graphic glitch. So the outcome of a spin is decided beforehand, before you actually see the graphics. Now, sometimes there are disruption in network. There are some ESP issues that may happen because, well, it is life. Things are unpredictable. Somewhere something might get lost on the way, and the players for a moment can see glitches, such as if hitting one symbol, but actually seeing that it suddenly turns into a different one. Now, these occurrences, again, as I have mentioned, rare, and they are typically caused by a network error, because the game is supposed to show you something, so it's going to show you something, and then it might adjust when the correct input is done. It doesn't change what the player won or lose. The worst case scenario, if the game could theoretically glitch out, but it's just going to crash, still this may happen, and this is something that the players are writing to support about. These are the, let's just call it, the safest variations of the issue that may occur. The more tech-heavy issue that may occur is, let's just say, when you have a malfunction on the server side. So, for example, the data center may have an outage and the game might become unplayable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a terrible, terrible thing. It happened in the past, way, way back, when the outages were a bit more common and the errors were a bit more common. We have taken note of that, and we have always having a different data center that is basically backing each other up. Still, for the player, what they're going to witness, they're going to witness a timeout. And if you have a timeout in the middle of your bonus game, and then the bonus game is rapidly, you know, ended, and by ended, I don't mean it's cancelled, it's just the player doesn't see it, but the bonus game has actually finished playing, they were awarded with the payout, and they are generally confused. So such thing may happen if there was an outage in data centers and the data was transferred. So the data of the winnings of the players were transferred, their visuals skipped because of an error, because the game is going to reload. And they are generally confused as to what happened. In the worst case scenario, if number of data centers can become down and the player basically get a complete crash, unfortunately, this is not something we can do. So basically, the game is going to be cancelled and their bet is going to be refunded to them. Alternatively, we also work with some of the casinos that have a policy of, in this case, to compensate the player. And we generally are okay with that policy. So when a player should have won something, but according to the network error or whatever, and we see the inclination that is a possibility. So for example, if a player triggered a free spin game, but there was a crash that completely, well, let's just call it crashed the game because of the data centers or the servers, and this game was lost. So the operator reaches out to us. We would like you to provide a player with these free games, winnings on average. We know how much in each game on average a player is going to win. So this is exactly the sum that they're going to be compensated.
Right. The fraudulent players. Yeah, that's quite hilarious. But how often do you encounter that?
Oh, very often, but extremely often.
Yeah.
I would say that 70% of all the support tickets that reach our site eventually. So we occasionally reach out to operators like, do you have any support tickets that you have closed without us or whatever, just to see. Majority of those are going to be people who think that the providers or the casinos are stupid. It's just so sad and hilarious at the same time that, you know,
But I'm wondering, because it's so common, as you're saying, does that mean that they're being sometimes successful with that?
I think it used to be successful in the past because, again, the backlog does not, I don't know for the other providers, but backlog does not necessarily to exist at all. It is just our own thing, so we can track each individual spins. Some providers, especially nowadays, maybe some newer providers may not have it. And it might be possible for the players to basically cheat them. And if the operator is also inexperienced, they might also get cheated in that. So to give you a very brief answer, because it's a human nature, the same as you would have hundreds of spam emails falling into your mailbox of people trying to, you know, fish you or whatever. Why are they doing that? I don't know, because it works sometimes, I guess. So I assume it's the same for this industry.
Yeah. Okay, I have two more questions. One is related to your past and one is related to your future. And because you guys been around since 2014, I'm just wondering what kind of changes you've seen in those almost 10 years now, how the iGaming landscape changed, and what can we expect from here and what is next for you guys?
Right. So going back into the past, changing the landscape has changed significantly. There are new types of games. For example, back in 2014, such thing as a crash game didn't even exist as a concept. It was first appearing into some crypto casinos. No, even before that, there were these skin trading. Yeah, so the games that used to have these loot boxes and what's not with these different skins, and quickly in there the whole economy boomed around those. So around that, around the economy, a gambling boomed as well. So they had these crash games there, and only then it moved to the casino. So the Aviator, before it became known as the Aviator, was something else, and it existed in that specific realm. It's only then it moved to the casino. A lot of different game mechanics moved as well, such as again, such as mega raids and the different clusters variations. Yeah, those are also fairly new to the gaming landscape back in 2014, 18. The market wasn't as saturated with the providers. It didn't have hundreds of games released every month, which is true nowadays. So back and then it was a little bit, let's just say, relaxed. The regulations were not as prevalent as well, so the markets was a bit of a wild, wild west. Yeah, the crypto casinos only were appearing actually a bit later. They were forming properly into this casino niche. Don't get me wrong, the crypto already kind of existed. It's just that it was not properly formalized. Nowadays, you have thousands upon thousands of casino, of crypto casinos. Back then, it was literally dozen of those. Yeah. So, from the standpoint of the provider, the landscape changed significantly. From the standpoint of the players, it also changed significantly. So, the games are much more probably fair now. It is a very important part of it. A lot of development of games slowed down because of regulations, so the market becoming more regulated, and that is slowing down all the let's just say research in what can be done more in different ways, because you have a framework to work with. You can't allow yourself to openly experiment. There is a framework that you must abide by. The gaming taxes generally grew, not bringing the example of Greece, Germany, and Sweden, but those are the markets where the regulations went their due course, so to say. A lot of gambling is still made in the grey areas where the regulations are not present, but the white markets, especially European markets, are becoming more and more expensive to penetrate and to basically gag. Grasp the market share there. So for the players, the amount of the new operators is going to decrease, but the operators that do remain are becoming more and more let's just say player oriented, because they understand that this is basically a fight for survival, so to say, with them against the black market or the gray market. Apart from that, the user interface evolved, the tools of design have evolved slightly, specifically in the animation department. So the animations and the designs have improved a lot. Apart from that, oh yeah, and of course game becoming more stable because the whole internet infrastructure becoming even more stable. So that's a thing in itself. The mobile phones becoming more powerful, so the games no longer need to be as optimized, but we are still believing that this is a key feature. Moving on to the future. Now, I do believe what we are going to see in the future is the rise of an AI-powered games. So now it is being used in the, well, mostly design, because fortunately or unfortunately, right now, AI is not a surgery tool. It's more of a sledgehammer. But in the future, when it's going to be evolved, what we are probably going to see is a whole new category of games, of AI-powered games or AI-based games, that are going to tailor for each individual players an individual game. That's what I believe. It's kind of hard to imagine it right now, how exactly it's going to be. But I think that's what the future that awaits us. But we can speculate what might appear there.
Yeah, and figure it out along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, the landscape itself is also going to change. You know, if you can't just have an AI to make you a game, you know, does it going to mean that the price of creating a game is going to decrease, or does it mean that the price of the quality or the final quality of the game is going to be directly affecting that only the big providers can, you know, stay in the market? So it's a big question. It's a big question how it's going to change for the player and how it's going to change for the industry.
Well, I thank you for this insightful chat. We'll see what the future will bring, and I'm sure we're gonna hear more from you guys. And it was a pleasure talking to you, Vlad.
Thank you, Maya. It was a pleasure talking to you as well. And thank you for having me here virtually.